We've been here now in Florida. Moved here from Fort Worth, Texas. And we've been here in Florida. We moved here in 1990. And when we moved here, you know, I don't have any family here. My wife doesn't have any family here, even though she's a native Floridian, other side of Tallahassee. And but the Lord told me to begin to pray for divine appointments and divine contacts. And the Lord told me, said, you're not supposed to be everywhere, but you're supposed to be where I want you to be. And so that's what I began to pray, and I still pray that same way. And in fact, April 30th, we'll be leaving, going over to, not moving, but going over to Nigeria. We'll be ministering over there. And God just opened up some doors that only he could do. People always ask me, so how do you get to go to all these places? I swear, God. Some people say, yeah, right, but who do you know? God. Amen. God can hook you up. Amen. Matter of fact, the hookup where Africa was concerned, somebody met me one time, talked to me for about 15 minutes. They talked to somebody else that was looking for somebody to come, and they said, you need to call this guy right here. I'm just praying for divine appointments, divine contacts. I ain't had no desire to go to Africa, like a lot of folks. Because the Lord spoke to me early in life and said, the time will come where you spend 50% of your time in the U.S. and 50% abroad. And I was impressed of the Lord that I'd be spending most of my time, the time abroad in Europe and also in the Orient. And so that's what I'm praying toward. And I'm like, God, whenever you're ready, just open up doors. And in the meantime, God said, on the way, we'll just open up Africa to you as well. Amen. So praise the Lord. You have your Bibles with you today? Lift them up and wave them around and repeat after me. This is my Bible, my very own Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God. And I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. You know, one of the things we emphasize is the power of God's word. God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth. I hope you understand that. You know, so many people, they know the word, they can quote the word, but when it comes to life challenges, they don't speak the word. Just as Jesus spoke the word and told the wind and the waves, peace be still, you and I can do the same thing. Amen, somebody. You know, we live here on the Space Coast, and some people, you know, we talk about how much we really enjoyed Florida. And one of the first things people say, oh, but you have hurricanes. I'm like, so what about that? I'm talking about Christians. Oh, you have hurricanes. I said, sure, we have hurricanes. I said, but guess what? We got control over them too. Amen. See, you and I, we are related. Matter of fact, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And whatever Jesus can do, you can do. Matter of fact, next Sunday, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Whatever he could do, you can do also. And some people say, well, I wish I could. Well, the word says you can, and you never know it, whether you can do it or not, unless you step out and act on God's word. Hear this. God's word means the same thing for him as it do for you and for me. Amen. It's not just for a few people. It's for all of us. It's to whosoever that would believe. Amen. You know, I like to say this, that the whosoever in John chapter 3:16 is the same whosoever in Mark chapter 11, 22, 23, and 24. Amen. Verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall be done, he will have whatever he says. He will have what? You know, some people, they come, well, I don't know about that, but they believe John 3:16. I'm telling you, the same whosoever in John 3:16 is the same whosoever in Mark chapter 11, 23. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, I am a whosoever. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe in winning. You believe in winning? Our Heavenly Father, he believes in winning. You know, he doesn't believe in just win a few and lose a few. You play the game right, you win them all. Here, the question, the thing that people have to recognize is that you have to not just play nine-inning games, you play till you win. Amen, somebody. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. This morning, I'm going to talk to you, Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse number 17. This is about the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Of course, I know this week is going to be a tremendous week because, you know, we're celebrating. Well, it has to do everything with the church and why we congregate and do what we do now. Because of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. But this is the beginning of his ministry, you know. But I want you to understand, so there's power in recognizing what Jesus has done for you. Here in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we understand that in the beginning of this chapter, Jesus was led into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. He faced every temptation, and he won, which is an indication that if Jesus won, he expects you and I to win also. Amen. But if you notice, one of the things that he did, he always responded with the word of God. Amen. And so you and I, we have to respond with the word of God as well. And I say this because I want you to understand, I face challenges just like everybody else. I face challenges with my health. I face challenges with my finances. I face challenges with family. I face challenges with everything that I do. But understand this. God has already made provision in this world for us to deal with the challenges that we face and to overcome them. God called us to be world overcomers and not just local overcomers. Amen, somebody. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And then verse 5 says, who is he who overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm telling you, believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That puts you in the overcoming class. Amen. Some people are wishing that they would be in there, but I'm here to tell you that if you're a child of God, you are in the overcoming class, and I just want to inform you of that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Matter of fact, once you understand that, you make this declaration, things around here are about to change. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I just began to declare that this year is going to be the best year of my life in Jesus' name. Now, hear this. My declaration of what the word of God confirms has nothing to do with what's going on in this world. Amen. Absolutely nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with what President Trump decides to do, what the Democrats, the Republicans decide to do, what my neighbor decides to do. It has to do with what my faith in God declares. Amen. Glory to God. So one of the things we have to understand is nobody can stop us but us. And guess what? I'm my own best friend. Nobody else pat me on the back. I pat myself on the back. Nobody else high-five me. Guess what? I high-five myself in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're in that overcoming class. Hallelujah. And then the 1 John 4:4 says, what says, oh my God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's where? Did you know everywhere you go, God goes with you? I'm never alone. I'm never alone. And guess what? Not only am I in Christ and Christ in me, but God put his spirit in us too, his Holy Spirit. So wherever I go, guess what? God just walked in with me. Amen. God just walked in with you. Hallelujah. So the scripture says here, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there's one translation of Ben Campbell paraphrase. Ben Campbell Johnson paraphrase puts it this way. Change your attitudes and your actions, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Change what? Your attitudes and your actions. For an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. Did you know God really wants to move in your life and move through your life? Amen. Today I'm going to talk to you briefly about how to do things that you've never done before. How many of you like that? Perhaps there are some things you just feel like, I want to do this and I want to go there. But I'm here to tell you that God took a little guy like myself from the woods of Virginia and sent me around the world just because of standing on his word. Hallelujah. And preached on over 5 continents so far. And I'm not through yet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But here, change your attitudes and your actions. So it's not up to somebody else, the changes that they make. It's important the changes that I make. Hallelujah. Hear this. The road to success is paved with good intentions. People have a lot of intentions. I plan to do this. I plan to do that. Well, when are you going to do it? You know, some people just sit around all their life waiting to get started. You know the old Chinese proverbs, the journey of 1,000 miles began with 1 step. Amen. It's not our big problems that defeat us, it's our little bitty visions that defeat us. Change is not change until you change. There's a whole lot of talk going on. But somewhere along the line, we got to make sure that change is implemented in our life and we go to another level. Today's preparation determines tomorrow's achievement. Change your attitude, change your actions. Evidently, something that I've been doing have been keeping me where I've been. But if I want to move beyond that, I got to do some things a little bit different. Amen. In other words, I have to apply myself. The biggest word in Christianity is a 2-letter word that's spelled D-O. Do. The only ones that are blessed are the doers. Not the hearers, not the readers, but the doers. And God has been having a challenge getting people to do what they know they're supposed to do. Or they done read about it and they're waiting on the Lord come do it. Matter of fact, I lived in Virginia and we used to sing in church. I got saved when I was 5. We were in this church. They used to sing the song, Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. And guess what? 20 years later, they're still singing, Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. And nothing has changed. Why? Because the Lord is saying, y'all do it. Do it right now. Amen. See, everything is not left up to God. There are some things that's left up to us. Once you understand, you are created in the image of God, and the same capacity that God has, he's imparted into you. Too many times we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And God give us big things to do. Why? Because he's a big God, and he expects, because he's a big God, you ought to be a big person. And everything God will give you to do, the desires, the challenges, is beyond where you are right now. But we have to make sure we don't come to a place in life that we settle. Amen. But that we're going to move ahead. Amen. We're going to be adventurous. Faith loves an adventure. Amen. And there are some angels, you know, the angels God been sent to work with us and help us. You know, some people's angels seem like they're almost unemployed because nobody asking them to do anything. Amen. Yeah, angels just sitting around, what you doing? You know, well, the Lord sent me with them, but they ain't doing nothing. They're just sitting around singing, oh me, oh hum, hum, come Lord Jesus. Jesus, I'm not coming right now. Get up and do something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Talking about secrets to doing what you've never done before. Number one, have a strong belief in God. Have a strong belief in God. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, the scripture said, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, speaking of Abraham, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Abraham faced something that was humanly impossible. And you know, God gave him a promise, and it's 25 years before the manifestation of it came. What are you believing for? I want to let you know, you don't let go. Hold on to the word that God spoke to you. and continuing to speak out what God said to you. Somebody said, I'm a believer. Well, I couldn't tell it by the way you talk. You sound like you're a doubter. Do you think this is going to happen? I doubt it. Sound like doubting Thomas. If God said it, that ought to settle it. Amen. So many times we forget what the way we are called to live our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But yet everybody walk by sight. We go to universities, and what do the universities teach us? To walk by sight. If you can't, if it's not, it has nothing to do with the five physical senses, most people won't believe it. But faith is beyond that. Amen. I said faith is beyond that. You got to step beyond the five physical senses, because the five physical senses will keep you grounded. But if you want to go to another level, you got to join up with God. Amen. Glory to God. Have a strong belief in God. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God, everybody say with God, but with God, for with God all things are possible. How many things? All things are possible. See, I made the statement earlier. God's word in your mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth. Now, most of us believe that if God says something, man, it's going to come to pass. But when we say something, well, I don't know. Amen. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, my God. If we can get people, the believers. I heard somebody ask this question. Who ever heard of a believer that didn't believe? When it comes to healing, I believe. Matthew 8, 17. I believe 1 Peter 2, 24. I believe Psalms chapter 103, verse 1 through 4. I believe, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Some people take a couple of benefits and say, well, you know, this is enough for me. Listen now, I take all of them. Now, hear this. If I take all the benefits, don't complain about me taking them all. Because they're not just there for me, they're for all of us. Amen. I said they're for all of us. Glory to God. Some people say, well, you know, if I could just have my kids, you know, act right and good grandkids and all that, that'll be enough. But yet you suffer physically. You suffer financially. Why? Because you don't impose your tempo on life. And we're waiting on the Lord to come down and do it. And the Lord said, I've already given you the power to do something about that. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read that from another translation. I'll go ahead and read it here first, sir, for those of you that don't have it. Jesus said, verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Again, Ben Campbell Johnson paraphrase says this, verse 13, choose God's way and give it first priority in your life, because there are many easy choices you can make which lead to meaninglessness and despair. And many persons will choose those routes. Because the choice to express the spirit dimension, everybody say spirit dimension. Did you know you are a spirit? Most people think they are a body and a mind. But you are, the real you is the spirit. But the spirit, many times, he don't get recognized much. But that's who you are. I am a spirit. I have a physical body. I have mind, will, and emotion. But guess what? The spirit is the dominant one. Matter of fact, all of us are spirits, and we're living in these bodies. But we many times give more attention to the bodies than we do to the real person. Many times we feed our physical body 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. But when it comes to our spirit, we may get one meal a week. If most people, hear this, if most people had one meal a week, there'd be no fat people on the earth. Let me finish this up here. Because the choice to express the spirit dimension requires you to focus your life and bring it under control, few people would choose it. They would rather keep all their options open, a course which results in a loss of life and meaning. Keeping all your options open. God expects us to live a laser-focused life. Amen. I said laser-focused. If you can just get people to sit down and focus on what God said, change can take place in their life. Amen. And it has nothing to do with what the president is doing. Has nothing to do with what Congress is doing. Has nothing to do with whether you're Republicans, Democrat, or independent, or agnostic, or whatever. It has to do with whether you're a believer in God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. And one last scripture here, Mark 11, verse 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in who? Most people got faith in everybody else but God. Have faith in God. Now, of course, we understand what this was concerned. Jesus had spoken to the fig tree. He cursed it and said, no man eat fruit of you. In a 24-hour period, that thing was cursed from the root up. Whew, glory to God. And I just can imagine Peter and all the disciples going, what in the world? If Gomer Pyle were there, he said, Shazam. Amen. But Jesus said, this all begins with having faith in God. Somebody said, who is God? We can't see him. That's man's biggest problem. Created in God's image, but yet, we said, well, if we can't see it, we don't believe it. Well, it's time for us to make some adjustments. Number two, believe in yourself. Somebody said, believe in myself? Yeah, believe in God, number one. Number two, believe in yourself. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press, everybody say, I press. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, some people want everybody else to do it for them, want the pastor to do it for them. But Paul said, I press. In other words, once we realize who we are, we can do some things too. Amen. It's not just left up for a few people. It's for all of us. Acts chapter 26, verse 19, the Apostle Paul, when he was standing before King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Notice that, I. He said, God wasn't disobedient. He said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. The only vision that some people get come from the television. But hear this, to get something from heaven, you got to pull away from everything else. You have to position yourself to hear from God. Amen. And he's not far from you. Where is he? He's on your inside. Somebody said, he's a very present help in a time of trouble. Most people don't believe him. They ask, God, where are you? They're looking out here when God's in here. We have to believe in ourselves. The most important conversation you have in a day is the conversation you have with yourself. God can be for you. Your wife or your spouse can be for you. Your kids can be for you. The pastors can be for you. The intercessors can be for you. But if you're not for you, you're not going anywhere. You got to believe in yourself. You got to talk to yourself daily about where you're headed. Talk to yourself every day. All intelligent people talk to themselves. I know sometimes people say, oh man, he's over there talking to himself. Oh, yeah. Do you understand that Christianity at one time was called the Great Confession? Why? They were always confessing something. That's the way you go from the natural to the supernatural. I mean, when Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you know, if thou would believe in thy mouth and confess with thy heart that Jesus is Lord, you know, you're going to be saved. Hear this. The door to the supernatural swings on two hinges. Believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. It's not enough just to believe. You got to say something. And most people are hung by their own tongue. Somebody said, what? And it's not what you say about me, it's what I say about me. And I already told you, I like me. I'm my own best friend. Amen. I'm telling you, I love my wife, but I'm telling you, Clyde like Clyde. Amen. Hear this. Let go of the negative things from your past. You got to believe in yourself. You got to let go of some things. Some people are stuck in life. Hear this. Forget the things that have hurt you. Pastor, you asking me to let it go? Yeah. If you want to move forward. Because hear this. When you're holding something against somebody else, you remain in that same position holding them there. And some people stay in that position for 50 years. I'm not going to let it go. And there are some people that have done something to you. They're already in their grave, but you're still holding them there. They ruling from the grave. Guess what I do? I let it go. Remember Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying, forgive. So if I want Mark 11, 23, I want the mountain to be removed, I got to remove all this other stuff too. I can't let nothing hinder me. Somebody said, Pastor, but you don't understand. I was abused. Everybody has something happen to them in life. You're not the only one. And while, you know, I can understand where you're coming from and the challenges and everything. I had all kind of stuff, and I'm not going to bring up all that and tell you about all that. But I had stuff too. Just trust me. I had stuff that happened to me in my life too. But guess what? I realized that that was only hindering me. And if I want to move forward, I got to let it go. I have to let it go. Forget the things that have hurt you. Number two, forsake the things that have hindered you. And number three, focus on the things that will help you. Amen. Focus on the things that will help you. So number one, believe in God. Number two, believe in yourself. Number three, believe in others. Hear this. No one climbs a mountain alone. You may climb a hill by yourself, but when it comes to climbing a mountain, you need a team. And you know, one of the things about believing in others is you get rid of selfishness. And you happen to be the star of everything. Some people, when they go to every wedding, they want to be the bride. When they go to the funeral, they want to be the corpse. I don't have to be the center of everything. I can support others. I can push others. Matter of fact, my greatest satisfaction in life is helping other people get to where they need to be. That's my greatest satisfaction. It's not about me getting more of this and more of that. That's not what it is. My greatest satisfaction is helping others. I believe in you. When I help you, that indicating to you that I believe in you. You can do this. Amen. It's in you. You know, perhaps, you know, one thing I found about God, God never asks you what your age is. Now, we may talk about our age, but God never asks you about your age. He asks about your faith. He asks, are you a believer? Some people come to a place in life, you know, like right now, many of the people that are my age, they are retiring, are already retired. I'm not even thinking about retiring. I'm thinking about how can we impact the lives of others? How can we shake the earth? How can we shake the earth? Now hear this, and hear this. God will strengthen me and give me whatever I need to do that if I stay focused on where I'm supposed to be going. See, God is not only the source of our life, God is the strength of our life. Amen. And when I'm tired, you know, I'll tell you, I've been places where I've been so tired and, you know, doing so many things, and I'm a goer, I'm a doer. I have to make myself slow down, take a break. And one morning, I was just like, I got in bed late, probably about 2 in the morning. And my wife, she still works. My wife got up, and I wanted to make breakfast for her. And before she go to work, and I woke up, my body said, "You don't want to do this. Turn over and go to sleep." I said, "No, I said I'm going to make breakfast for my wife." So you got to talk back. There's always conversation going on your inside. You know it. I'm not the only one to have conversation. You have them too. And I talk back to myself. I said all intelligent people talk to themselves. I talk to myself. And sometimes I answer myself too. Yeah. And I said, "No, I said, I'm going to do this." And what did I do? I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Sing." And I began to sing a song just dropped in my heart. "You give strength to me as I worship thee, and my mouth is filled with praise." It's like my strength was coming up. And next thing I jumped out the bed, you know, "Praise the Lord." Somebody said, "How did you go from turn back over to praise the Lord?" Because of what I chose to do. Amen. But hear this, I'm not living for me. I believe in others. And I went in there, I fixed my wife a good, hearty breakfast. Amen. Now, she doesn't require that of me, but I love her. She's my only girl. I ain't got no others. I don't have to think about no others. Amen. She's the recipient of all my affections. I'm always thinking about her. I shop for her. I do everything for her. I wash her clothes. I fold her clothes. I put up her clothes. I clean her house. Matter of fact, I run my house. I run everything in there. You know why? I believe in others. See, Zig Ziglar made this statement. We can accomplish a lot in life. We can all accomplish a lot in life if we don't care who gets the credit. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to help others succeed. Helping others succeed, help you succeed. Did you know that? When you help other people, it helps you. I put it this way. I misquoted Zig. I gave my interpretation of it. Here's what he said was, you can get anything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want in life. Believe in others. Believe in God. Believe in yourself. Believe in others. Number four, discipline your thought life. We are the custodians of our own thoughts. Remember, Jesus said, and I paraphrase, change your attitude and your actions. See, we don't come into the earth perfect, knowing everything. Many times we are a product of our environment, and sometimes we gotta change on the inside because our environment may not have been the most healthy environment. Amen. But we are the custodians of our own thought. How we manage our days and nights determine how far we go in life. You know, in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. Matter of fact, let's just look over there. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 2. Well, let's read verse 1 and 2. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." So in other words, there's more than one way of thinking. "Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates" how often? Day and night. Now hear this, I can't make you meditate day and night. That's your decision. And some people, so they can know that scripture, they know what it says, but if you don't ever begin to meditate in God's word day and night, guess what? The world is going to whip you. It's going to beat you down. And you're never going to rise up and be all that God created you to be. You meditate in God's word how often? Some people say, well, you know, you got to think about other things. And that's where your problem starts, is thinking about other things. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of what? But you shall meditate in it how often? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's not left up to somebody else. It's not left up to somebody else. Somebody said, well, why don't you think for yourself? Well, I do think for myself according to God's word. Somebody said, well, why would you do that? Because David said in Psalms 119, well, Psalms 119, what does he say? I know what he says. I'm going to go look. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Thy word have I hid where? Now you understand where your heart is, not your blood pump. Your heart deals with your soul, has to do your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, and so there needs to be some things need to be changed, shifted in the way we think. And as we do that, we begin to prove God's word is true. But you have to do it day and night. If you do it occasionally, you'll be blessed occasionally. You'll win occasionally. You'll get healed occasionally. But you do it day and night, you can have experienced God's word day and night. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear this. Your energy will carry you to your point of focus. What are you looking at? Your attitude, my attitude is a choice. Hear this. Smiling may not heal you, but it will help you. Amen. Smiling looks good on you. But yet most people don't smile. I flew in yesterday from Texas. Matter of fact, I went out for Kenneth Copeland's associate pastor. Never had a new car in his life. Never bought one. Could have bought one. Never bought one. And so a bunch of people got together and put together and come up with about $90,000 and bought him a brand new Jaguar. Yeah. And you're talking about the joy of everybody that was there, you know, to see all this happen. I mean, we're just rejoicing. Listen here, folks. You're not going to get anywhere in life being envious of what other people have. And if you want to be blessed, you got to bless. God called us to be a giver also. Amen. As a matter of fact, it says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. We're talking about smiling, right? Well, okay, I'm on an airplane flying back in on Delta, and there's a flight attendant. She smiled the whole time from Atlanta to Melbourne. And then when we got off the plane, she stepped off the plane and smiled at everybody that got off the plane with. I said, man, look at that. Smiling will help you. And I heard a comment as we go up the jet bridge. Boy, you don't see many people that smile, do you? She's smiling. Guess what? You smile on the inside before you smile on the outside. Amen. Hear this. What you internalize will be visualized by others. Amen. Oh, glory to God. That's a good word right there. Oh, I need to write that down. Amen. Hear this. It's not what happens to you, but what happens in you that makes a difference. Not what happens to you, but what happens where? In you. Understand this. Limitations are guidelines and not stop signs. They are guidelines, not stop signs. Again, this goes back to still talking about disciplining your thought life. Where you are is determined by you. Don't concern yourself with what you cannot control. Do what you can do. Let God do what you can't do. But make sure you do what you can do. Some people say, you talk to some people, what you doing? I'm just waiting on the Lord. But what you doing? What are you doing? Number five, establish new relationships. Everyone stops growing when the price is too high. But I found out that if you were persist, there is somebody somewhere with the power, the influence, and the ability to help you. And they are free to obey God. Amen. I said they are free to obey God. So the thing is, you have to have persistence and not quit. Realize that some people can only take you so far in life. But don't be afraid if you have to go on with somebody else that's going to take you to the higher level. You know, some people, they have loyalty to a fault. You know, you look at Rachel, she's a writer. You know, that she has certain skill sets. And at some point in her life, for her to go to the next level, she hung around other people that were on another level. They speak into her life. We have to have other people speak into our life. We have to hang around people that are doing what we've never done. Amen. Associate with those who have broken barriers. Why? They can tell you something. Because we all going to face challenges. And there are going to be stop signs along the way. But God always got other people that cross your path that you can speak into their life and they can speak into yours. And that can help you get unstuck and get to the next level. And you need to know when to move on. And understand this, everybody will not move with you. I've left so many people behind in life that I love. You know why? Because they didn't want to move forward. They were happy right where they were. And any of us, we can stop. We can settle wherever we want to. We can settle wherever we want to. But guess what? God called us to come on out. Come on out. He said, come on up. He didn't say stop and settle. Yeah, praise the Lord. Number six, you will usually have to leave where you are physically to go to the next level. Remember Abraham? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The scripture says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. If God speak that to you, then you better start packing up. I've only made moves in my life that I heard the word of the Lord said, do something like that. 1978, 79, the Lord spoke to me and said, leave Richmond, Virginia, move to Fort Worth, Texas. Well, I packed up everything we owned in the smallest U-Haul trailer you could find, 4x6. All my worldly belongings behind a 1971 Plymouth Valiant that used to be an ex-police car. And I headed west. Where you going? I heard the word of the Lord. I'm going to another level. I've maxed out where I'm at. But the Lord has something else. Why? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Where is God in you? What is he doing? He's working in you. But most people don't cooperate with him. Most of the thoughts, the ideas are going to new levels. Most people don't recognize them as being God. They think, that's just a pipe dream. Could be God. People that fail in life have come to the place that they refuse to make adjustments. Refuse to make adjustments. Guess what? I had to make adjustments. Time came when I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. Been there 11 years. And God said, all right, Florida is your next assignment. What do? We pack up everything we have in the largest U-Haul that you could find. And then pack both vehicles up. I went there, I went to Texas with one vehicle, I'm leaving with two, and then I had to ship some stuff. Hear this. When you ask, every time you go and do what God tells you to do, there will be increase in your life. And when we moved from our house that we were living in to our home that we're living in now, we had an 18-wheeler come move our stuff. And it was packed, and then we packed our vehicles. If God ever asks us to leave Florida, there'll be a convoy of trucks that are going down the highway with us. Amen. Amen. Just obey God. And who knows what else will be going with them. Maybe flying the jet and all the other things too. Amen. Hear this. To become what you've never been, you must go where you've never gone and do what you've never done. Amen. Number 7, the last one. Be willing to go the extra mile. Be willing to go the extra mile. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is a little extra. Is a little extra. Somebody said, you know, CEOs of corporations, well, better yet, anyone with a 12th grade education can solve most of the problems that are in corporations today. But the CEOs don't get paid for solving those 95% of the problem. He get paid for solving the 5% of the problems. In other words, you got to be willing to go the extra mile, burn the midnight oil. You know, we have to do this. God's not going to do it for us. That's what I'm trying to get over to. God's not going to do it for us. And regardless of what your age is, I mean, what, Moses went into a full-time ministry at 80? And for the next 40 years, he led the people of God. We still talk about him today. Oh, my, my. And God called him the meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, you know, that was something else. This guy led a bunch of people that were stiff-necked, rebellious. God called him that. Moses called him that, too. And if God and Moses were on the same page on the same day about destroying them, the Israelites would have been destroyed and God would have started over with Moses. But anytime they messed up, Moses would intercede for them. God said, okay, all right, we'll let it go. And then Moses, he get upset, and God said, all right, now you got to straighten up. These are my people. I call them, you know. My, 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 my. Be willing to go the extra mile. Moses was willing to go the extra mile. Always be a learner. You know, some people have great libraries, but never read or listen or watch anything that's in there. It's just for show. I said it's just for show. Hear this. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not an accident. It's a habit. I tell you, you know what? I believe in excellence. I tell you guys believe in excellence too. Just look around you. You believe in it. See, somebody said, well, you know, you say you believe in excellence. Yeah. I plan, I prepare, I plan, and I expect to succeed. I'm not surprised when I succeed. That's what I was attempting to do. I was attempting to go to the next level. Amen. Oh, glory to God. You know, we set goals in our life. You know, we set goals where our giving is concerned. I want to outgive what I gave last year. You know, sometimes, you know, you can say, well, this year was a pretty good year. We did pretty good. Well, why don't you trust God, go the extra mile and say, God, this year we're going to trust you. We're going to the next level in our giving. We're going to go to the next living and next level in our serving. We're going to be a blessing to some people. And you know what? God will give you everything you need to get to that next level. My wife talked about commitment. She spoke on that at our church on last Sunday. Part of winning is consistency. Just being consistent. You know how many people get up and pray every day? How many people read the scriptures every day? We want these things. We want what God said. We want God's best. But then we don't walk with him. Run ahead of him. A couple more things, and I'm going to read one scripture and close. I made this statement. Don't play nine inning games, play until you win. See, some people say, well, they said this is a ninth inning, this is the third out, so it's over. God didn't say it was over. It's only over when God says it's over. We got a guy in our church right now, right after Thanksgiving. He goes to the doctor. They told him to go to the emergency room. He's an ex-Marine. He goes to the, they made an appointment for him to go on one day. He shows up a day early thinking that was his day of appointment. Well, next thing you know, he's in emergency. Next thing you know, they got him in ICU and they got him sedated and he has a heart attack. And next thing you know, they said, well, he's not going to come through. This is over. Telling his daughter, she just flew in from Okinawa. Her husband's in the Marines also. She flew in, and they said, what should we do? What's up? What are my options? And they kept going back to just pulling the plug, let him go. And she looked at me. I said, I don't have it that we should let him go. And we anointed him with oil. Anoint means to pour. Some people get upset when you put a little mark on their head, you know. But how about somebody pouring oil on you? Maybe you're not anointed yet with just that. Maybe you ain't got your breakthrough. Maybe you need to tell Pastor Tony, pour the oil on me. Amen. It won't mess up your clothes. I just let you know that. It may look like it will, but it won't mess your clothes. So anyway, long story short, hear this. 3 Sundays ago, this guy walked into the church. And the doctors had told his daughter, said he got 4 hours to live. 4 hours to live. But you know what? I was in there, I was praying with him, and I was talking to him. Because, you know, people, when they're in a coma, they still hear you. Be careful what you say. You may give away some secrets. Thinking, well, they don't hear anything. And then they come out and go, they got all your account numbers and everything. Amen. The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. Amen. Secrets to doing what you've never done. Again, let's hit this and then I'll close with this one scripture. Have a strong belief in God. Number 2, believe in yourself. Number 3, believe in others. Number 4, discipline your thought life. That's probably one of the, it should be number 2. Discipline your thought life, because you are what you think. Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Number 5, establish new relationships. Number 6, you usually have to leave where you are physically. That don't necessarily mean you have to move from the city, but you have to leave some of the people where you've been hanging out with. If people are not going in your direction, let them go. And smile. And number 7, be willing to go the extra mile. I just felt impressed of the Lord just to read this one last scripture here. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Remember we said, have faith in God, verse 22. Verse 23 says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and the way that I heard it was, whoever says to this debt, borrowing, not a sin to borrow. Whoever says to this mountain, this debt, this sickness, whatever, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. He will have whatsoever he says. Hear this. God said, I've told my people, they can have what they say, but my people keep saying what they have. I've told my people they can have what they say, but my people keep saying what they have. If you want to change what you have, you're going to have to change what you're saying to agree with God. Amen. You know, one of the things we believe in God for in our church, we believe in God for 20 new families. Somebody said, where are they going to come from? I don't know. God talked to people. Hear this. My brother Juan right here, he's just riding by. I saw my name on the sign out there. And he's here this morning, first time he showed up here. Do you understand? God talked to people. You know why some people are broke? Because they keep talking about broke. You know why they're sick? They keep talking about sick. They know all these big terms that the doctors come up with and don't quote nothing about the scriptures. But yet they love God. Oh, Pastor, I love God with all my heart. Well, your mouth don't say it. I like people to listen to what I say. Just watch me live life. Some things are taught and then some things are caught. Now hear this. If I was around my mom, and my mom is still alive, she's 80, be 82 next month, and my mom was just negative as could be, I would limit my time around my mom. Or when I go around my mom, I make sure I'm full of faith. But my mom is not that way. But there are a lot of people that are, a lot of friends that are. Well, you can't do that. You know, some people tell me I couldn't do some things because I'm black. What that got to do with anything? I'm created in the image of God. Black ain't got nothing to do with it. It just means I don't have to go get a tan. Amen. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything. You can be anything you want to be in Jesus' name. Amen. You get anything out of the word today?
Yes.
Glory to God. We say to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. I want to ask you this one question. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. One of the best decision you could ever make in life is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I found out that Jesus provided, through his death, burial, and his resurrection, everything that you and I would need to win with in this life. You see, not only does God exist, Satan exists also. And Satan hates you and I. God loves you and I. I like to hang out people that like me. Amen. And God loves you. The scripture said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him. He asked you to give $1 million. He said, whoever would believe in him. Guess what? You can be saved. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to lift your hand up right now and say, Pastor, I want to do that. I've never done that before. I'm telling you, that begins you on that road to doing what you've never done before and setting you in a place of victory. Amen. If you've never done that before, lift your hand up right now. I did it when I was 5. I remember one night I'm sitting in the church right back over here in a Free Methodist church back in Virginia, and the pastor gave the altar call. I was the only one to answer that night. And I came walking down the aisle, and my pants leg come up like this. But guess what? God wasn't looking at my pants leg. He was looking at my heart. Hallelujah. And guess what? Now I got some pants that fit just right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Tony, thanks again for having us come. And Church on the Rock, let me pray for you. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for Church on the Rock. We thank you for their place within the body of Christ. We thank you, Father, for this congregation of people and the mandate that you have on them, that everything you call them to do, that they rise up and they accomplish everything in Jesus' name. We pray for all the congregants right now. Pray for their families in Jesus' name. We bind the devil where they are concerned in Jesus' name. We break the power of sickness off of them now in Jesus' name. We call anyone that have kids that may be walking in disobedience. We break that disobedient spirit now in the name of Jesus. And we say and declare, as the scripture said in Isaiah chapter 54, all their children are taught by the Lord, and they listen to the Lord and follow after him in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you glory and honor for this place, this embassy that you created and placed here on the earth for such a time in this. We pray, Father, for increase in this church, that they never lack for anything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.